This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. This is the Mile High Huddle podcast, the gut reaction to a brutally disappointing loss at Arrowhead. The Broncos had this one in the bag. Okay, it's going. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. So we're actually connected on Facebook. I'm your host, Chad Jensen. I was just telling Scott right before we went live, Zach will be here any minute, but I didn't want to keep you guys waiting any longer. The state of mind I'm in right now is kind of like if someone just called me and told me like my cousin got hit by a car this morning or something, where your brain's like going, it's kind of in a state of shock. That's where I'm out. Welcome to the gut punch reaction. That's where it's at. Oh my gosh, Zach will be in here any second, guys. I didn't want to keep you waiting. Let's catch up here. Riptide, what's up, bro? So end of the day. Let me just recount here. And I just realized I have 30 million tabs open, so let me close some of them here. But the Denver Broncos fall 16-14. Riptide says, can you let me know when the defense is close? Patrick Mahomes to the ref. Should have won. I'm heartbroken. So sick of this. Zach, dude, feeling just like this isn't the gut reaction. It's the gut punch reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what there is left to say about the Broncos. They've lost so many heartbreakers over the years, Chad. Some to Kansas City. I think this, though, was one of the worst losses in recent Broncos history, if not all of Broncos history. Defense played well. The offense, they could have done better, but they made enough plays to put them in a position to win, Chad. All you needed was a chip shot field goal, and the one thing that can go wrong actually went wrong, and it was a colossal failure. If you watch the blocking, they all collapsed. Forsyth, I would almost say he should be cut for how bad he was. He fell over. He got pancaked. Brutal, Chad. Brutal.
It's just not wise, man, to put a guy like that that's ice cold into the game in such a clutch situation. You know, by the way, yeah. Luke Wattenberg returns. Those wondering if he would get a starting job back, now you know. They immediately put him back in the starting lineup. Brian Woodard, what the Sam Hill expletive did I just witness? I know. That's what I'm saying to you guys. Like, I'm in a weird state of shock. Chris Hernandez, our brother, jumping in with a generous super chat. Love you, bro. His symbolic gut reaction. Super saying, damn, click those little thumbs up. 14 points times 5 wins equals this super chat. Bro, we love you. Thank you. Seriously, you're so generous, and it means the world to us. I'm so sorry for you guys right now. I mean, if you feel the way I feel, and as you've heard me talk about on the show multiple times, I don't get Zach quite as hung up on these games anymore as I used to, like covering the team every day and every angle and all that stuff. It kind of beats a little bit of the passion. Not so much the passion, Zach. It's more like the stakes kind of seem to minimize because your job doesn't change regardless of if it's a win or a loss. But when it comes to the Chiefs, it just is a different animal. We all know why. Like Scott was saying before that we went live, you know, the Chiefs, everybody hates the Chiefs now. It's not just Broncos fans. They've become the new New England Patriots. But this was a game, Zach, where you snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. You had them dead to rights. Oh, and then seeing how Patrick Mahomes runs out on the field like that, I'm like, oh, dude, that's it. I'm out. I'm sorry, guys. I got to work my hormones out on this one too, Zach.
Yeah. I mean, last week against Baltimore, it was so non-competitive that it didn't hurt that they lost. This one, though, they should have won this game, which makes it more heartbreaking. Not for a chip shot field goal. Jonathan Ward, $2 super. Thank you, Jonathan. I don't even know what to say. What a crushing loss. That's kind of how Chad and I feel. Like, we're getting on right after the game ended, and what is there to say about that? If they would have won this game, Chad, they would have been in prime wild card standing. It could have been a major playoff push. And now, where do they go? How deflated are they? How do they rebound from this going forward? It's again, brutal.
So hold on real quick here. Quick housekeeping. Scott says the names aren't coming through on Facebook. It just says Facebook user. Uh-huh. So what that tells me is somehow people have to go back in and re-give they shouldn't have to do that. They shouldn't have to re-give Facebook permission to show their name on StreamYard. Like, that's, do you remember when we had that issue in the group before they stopped allowing Facebook direct streams to groups? Well, at least we're streaming to Facebook. So we'll try and keep an eye on it. Still cussing. I don't know who you, hold on. Mr. Producer's telling me, Ralph. Okay, brother. Thank you. Appreciate you still cussing. I know, dude. I know. It's just, it's mind numbing. Here we have, I believe Raj, right? This is Raj. Can't tolerate much more watching a Chiefs game. The whole sequence at the end of the first half was ridiculous. The Chiefs should have 5 losses this season. My question, should they have tried one more play, then called timeout for the field goal at the end? That's a good question, Zach, but how could you have anticipated? I mean, this is the type of, yeah, the stakes, all the chips are on the table for this one play. But Zach, this is the type of perfunctory. Everybody knows their job. Handle your job. Let the kicker do his thing. It should be rote, but you're learning here why it's not rote. Why the Chiefs just rock at every single phase of the game. It's so disappointing. There was someone, Zach, when the Broncos connected on that third down. The final drive when Bo Nix, whatever it was, 3rd and 6 connects to Cortland Sutton, 3rd and picks up 14. You're going, oh, baby, we got this now. We're in control. I got a tweet. Someone added me saying, hey, I know it's I'm in the minority here, but I think the Broncos should try and get a touchdown. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, sure. Hey, Chris says a touchdown would have won it. Hashtag best in the business. Sorry, guys. I'm with you in the doldrums right now. I'm feeling just blue. You know, I'm feeling blue. What can I say?
Yeah, we can nitpick. They should have done this. They should have done that. But the it boils down to they had a chip shot field goal that was set up in the final seconds to win the game. And as Black Knight says there, how the F do you screw up a chip shot? That's how I feel. I mean, we could talk about the refs and the offensive play in the first half, but you had to make the field goal to win the game, and they just blew it entirely.
I am just real quick here. Taylor, what's up, bro? Love you. Officially have no comments. Keep up the good works. Thank you, buddy. I'm just looking at this play on Twitter. I would show it to you guys, but we'd get dinged. So I'm just looking here, and oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You're right, Zach. Alex Forsythe, that's almost like cut him. That was purely Alex Forsythe's fault, dude. 100%.
He just fell down.
He just went on his butt, fell backward, blocked. I don't know how, Zach, you bounce back from that. I don't know how, as a coaching staff. Oh, man, I don't know, dude. That's a tough one. I wouldn't be surprised. But, and you got to feel for him a little bit in that, you know, he goes from the starting job to, hey, sit down. But, man, dude, it's just so painful. Taylor, keep your chin up, big dog. Everybody keep your chin up. Because, yeah, the Broncos, Zach, they fall to 5-5. But there was a lot of good stuff shown today. I know we're talking about moral victories and let's find the silver linings, but that's what we're left with. Okay. The 2 of the 3 phases did enough. I mean, you did keep Patrick Mahomes, Zach, and this offense, which granted isn't the same kind of high flying unit it's been in recent years, but it's still, as you saw by the time of possession, Zach, as you saw by the third down rate, it's still the Chiefs, baby. And the Broncos held them to 16 points. Bo Nix and the offense did enough to get out on top early and change the dynamic and flow of the game, where the Chiefs had to be a little bit different in their approach. And you had the game in the bag. Your young quarterback did enough at the end, man. He got you there. He got you there, dude. The Chiefs even had a lapse. They even had a lapse, a rare lapse in the clutch with the kick going, the kickoff going out of bounds. You're going, really? That's what's happening? Let's go. Robert Ruprecht jumping in saying KC is either God mode, allowing teams to get within a chance to beat them only to win in the clutch weekly, or we outplayed them till the last play. Number 23, hashtag 23. Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately the Chiefs, Zach. They're just in the zone, and they're so used to those stakes that we just felt, that energy where all the chips were down, and it's like, oh, this big opportunity. That's how they live every day. They're so accustomed to and immune to those feelings. The Broncos are still getting used to what it means to be in those kind of situations, Zach, and what it takes to come out on top in them. It's called intensity. It's called will to win. It's called poise and courage under fire, and the Chiefs just showed you how it's done.
Yeah, Brandacho, 1999 Super, thank you. Not giving up yet, but this was absolutely brutal. OL looked like he didn't know the ball was snapped on the field goal. Like what I saw from Estimate, Franklin had some good reps, but I would have liked for us to be more aggressive. Yeah, again, it all boils down to just a chip shot that Alex Forsyth fell down on. If he just blocks, he has one job as a blocker, and that's to block, then the Broncos win this game. I do disagree a little bit, though, that two sides of the ball were good enough today. The offense, Chad, they did enough in the first half, but you can't go into Kansas City and only score 14 points in the first half and expect to win the game. They needed to be, I agree with this comment by Brandacho, just a little more aggressive in the second half. I feel like Sean Payton got cute when he had the lead, and that's not how you beat the Chiefs on the road.
I'm looking at this, and this actually has some merit, the idea that he didn't know the snap count or something. It looked like he wasn't ready to go. Like, that's how quickly he just fell on his butt. Now, granted, Zach, he was tasked with the way the Chiefs kind of rolled their coverage or rush, whatever you want to call it, at the end there. They kind of rolled and rotated it. He had two guys, but it didn't take two guys to get him. It was Karloftis just bulldozed him as if he didn't even know football was happening right now. Like, oh, snap. He either didn't know the ball, the snap count, Zach, or something was off there, or he doesn't probably even deserve to be on an NFL field.
You know, what's so painfully ironic, though, is the one side of the ball that's been consistent in the Sean Payton era has been the special teams. And the one side of the ball that lost the game today was the special team. It's just typical Broncos. William Shaw, 499 Super. Thank you so much, William. It was easier being blown out. This one has me shook. Exact same comment I made earlier. The Baltimore game, like, you can shake that off. It wasn't competitive. This one was competitive, and the Broncos should have won if not for a missed blown chip shot field goal. Man.
I'm a little shook, too. I couldn't believe it, dude. I could not believe it. I didn't necessarily try for this to happen, what I'm about to describe, but my dogs had done a little something, and it was right when they were about to snap the ball. And I kind of turned like this because they were kind of going at it. And I said something to them. And then all of a sudden I just hear the announcer, oh, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. I turn to look back. You know, these are like synapses firing in your head in real time. I look back. I'm like, oh, I see him scrambling for a ball. I'm like, oh my gosh, you gotta be S-wording me. You gotta be S-wording me here, dude.
I was telling someone this earlier, Chad. The Chiefs are the new Patriots, that every single thing seems to always go their way. And the refereeing or luck or whatever, it just seems like every single thing always bounces in their direction. This one, unfortunately, was no different.
Well, Naj jumps in. Love you, bro. Says, devastating. Nothing else to say. I feel for the players and Broncos country. Hate the Chiefs, bros. Just hate them. Special teams let everyone down today. Brutal. I know, dude. I hate them so bad. Like, I could seriously, like, cut it with a knife, my hatred for the Chiefs. And maybe I shouldn't say that. You know, maybe that's a result of me still, Zach, needing to work the hormones out. But it was there for the taking, dude. It was like game. Chiefs said, no, it ain't game. We got you. Ha, punk. You psych. You thought you had this? Psych. Oh, I hate them.
I don't think they're very likable. All things considered, Chad, like, again, like the Patriots of old, like, everyone hates the team that's on top. And unfortunately, that team resides in the AFC West.
Yeti in the mist. If you peer through, you'll see the shape. You might make it out. In fact, what it is, it's a Yeti saying, worst heartbreak on a single play since Raheem Moore versus Ravens. Oh. I know that. You know what, bro? You might be right on that. You think back to a single play I mean, a singular heartbreaking play. That Raheem Moore Ravens play, yes, divisional round playoffs. I think about Case Keenum's missed shot to Demaryius Thomas down the right sideline. RIP DT in that one fan, last ditch Vance Joseph era where they should have won a game. But that, I don't know. That's what, you're probably right, dude. Probably the most heartbreaking singular play, Zach, since Raheem Moore and Tony Carter 2012.
Going through my head like a Rolodex right now, what other play could be in contention? Against the Chiefs, remember when Vaughn had Mahomes sacked and Mahomes threw it left-handed in the fourth quarter? That came to mind, but I think you're right, Yeti. No singular play in recent Broncos history of the last 10, 15 years, except for Raheem Moore, was more devastating than that blocked field goal. Man.
See you, Riptide. I love you, bro. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon. Shake it off. There's still a long row left to hoe. We love you too, big dog. Long row left to hoe on this season. Broncos fall to 5-5. And thankfully, because the AFC, you know, is not all that great this year in terms of the middle and even just the NFL, so many, like, going into week 10 anyway, so many 3-win, 2-win teams. There's still a long row left to hoe. Jack down in Oz jumping in. Oh, this is Zeebo. Good to see you, bro. Good day, y'all. Greetings from the land of Oz. It was brutal, hard to swallow, but I like the way we played at the end. Let's not despair. I'm looking at Broncos setting the foundations for the next dynasty. Hashtag images for life. Go, Bo Broncos. And, you know, that's a very positive message, and I do appreciate that, Jack. Seriously, thanks, buddy. Because Bo Nix showed you some grit. You know, Bo Nix, it's the way the cookie crumbled just sucks, Zach. But, like, I tweeted from MHH. When he got the ball back, I'm like, okay, here's down now with by 2 points, right? Here's Bo Nix's chance to really begin kind of accelerate the building of his legend. And he did what he needed to do. I guess the only thing he left on the table is he didn't get a touchdown, but the play calling wasn't asking for a touchdown in that final sequence. Sean Payton was playing for the field goal. So Bo Nix did, I think, you know, fairly everything within his control to deliver you another massive upset win. This one would have been, of course, on the road, and make it 2 in a row against the Chiefs. It sucks. So those are some silver linings. He played well. The Chiefs, Zach, I'll say this, and then I'll serve it back to you. They came out in the second half. Their intensity level was a few notches higher, and the Broncos took too long to match it. Just, you know, offensively especially. The defense hung in there. They kept allowing those third downs, unfortunately, but they hung in there and they limited the Chiefs. But still, the offense took a little too long to kind of meet that intensity level. In fact, it was the last possession where they really showed signs of life in the second half anyway, after a really encouraging first half. So there are some good things to take away from this game. If you're Sean Payton, Zach, what are you saying to the team in that locker room?
First of all, it's a great observation. It did seem like when Sean Payton got a lead going into the second half, he went into that shell, into play not to lose mode. And what happens when you do that? You always end up losing. So the one takeaway for me, like the comment said, like you said, I think it's becoming clear that Bo Nix is the answer. I don't mean a, you know, Hall of Famer, perennial Pro Bowler, but he could be the Broncos franchise quarterback for the next decade, considering how he's growing. And it seems like on certain plays, certain drives, he's the best player on the field for the Broncos. If they could just get him some help and not get, you know, too conservative, they'll win these games going forward.
Mr. Producer, who do we got here? Oh, Phil. Phil McLaughlin down in Tucson. Love you, bro. Afternoon, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Heart still racing. Unbelievable loss. I swear they were offsides on that last play. Nice to see the tight ends being used. Wasn't happy with Sutton's drops. Agreed, that didn't help. Still don't understand 14 points in the first half, then nothing. Hashtag Buckham, MHH for Life, Broncos for Life. Thank you, Phil. And I don't know why it's not reflecting. We're continuing to try to get a hold of a human at StreamYard to get to the bottom of why all of a sudden, you know, they do updates to their software that we use on the reg, and it's almost always beneficial and gives you different tools and additional arrows in the quiver. But something they did last week completely flummoxed our connections to Facebook, and all the steps that they tell you to take to rectify it haven't perfectly, but at least this time we're able to actually connect with the live stream on Facebook. So we'll get this ironed out. Steve, thank you, bro, on Facebook. Got scared once in field goal range. Should have kept pressing. Give the rookie a chance to win it. I don't know. I honestly, look, hindsight, as they say, Zach, is always 20/20. I don't fault Sean Payton for going the route that he went. I really don't. Like, you had – how could you – Zach, look, they made a nice push there, two guys trying to come through that gap that Alex Forsythe just relinquished by – did he have money on this game? I'm just joking. But it was almost like that. He's like, ah, oops, boom. Just kidding. I don't really mean that. It's a joke. But how could Sean Payton, Zach, have predicted that? You know, this is the type of thing that should be perfunctory with a well-oiled machine, a team that's playing well and disciplined like the Broncos have been. You don't anticipate that. You just have to go, Chiefs did it, give them their credit, and the actual GOAT, you know, the actual scapegoat, in this case, Zach, is justified for being the GOAT in Alex Forsythe, and that dude's going to take some hate, dude. That guy is going to be feeling some pain.
Want to win money on sports? With Underdog, you can up to 1,000 times your cash just by picking higher or lower on your favorite player stats. Millions of fans have won billions of dollars on Underdog. Will you be next? Download the Underdog app and sign up to get a free pick with your first cash entry up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
He should. Again, you have one job as a blocker, and he didn't do it, Chad. So I don't know that Sean Payton could have foreseen this happening, but he could have put the team in a better situation where it wouldn't have happened. That's why I agree with earlier. When he got a lead in KC, he went into kind of a shell, started getting cute with his play calling. No, you got to be aggressive like you were in the first half. That's what got you up in the first place. But it boils down to a blocked, blown, missed field goal that Forsythe was the goat on, and not the good goat.
Man, and just how the Chiefs coach heads up football is something to behold. I mean, just simple things. Everybody is operating just in the zone when the chips are down and pretty much through the game. A good example, it's a small thing, and it probably didn't impact things, but the first third down the Broncos converted on that final drive. On second down, it's that swing pass to Marvin Mims. He could have, if he just accepted a little contact, easily have gotten the first down, but he goes out of bounds, ends up giving the Broncos a long third and one. Now, I can assure you with perfect confidence, Zach, any wide receiver that was going to touch the ball for the Chiefs in that exact same situation, if the roles were reversed, is not just going to go on second down, oh, I'm going to go ahead and run out of bounds when I could just put my head down and pick up the yardage. Little things like that, Zach, are what separate true championship teams from those who aren't. And you saw it. I mean, it's another example of Marvin Mims, just something between the ears just ain't there. But I will say this, Zach, it was kind of cool to see how the Broncos tried to utilize him today. He carried the ball as a rusher three times for 17 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, and caught four passes for 13 yards. So nothing really popped. They were hoping to get him the ball like that, make a man miss, and then you're picking up chunk yardage. But, man, the Chiefs don't miss tackles, dude. They just don't. And the Broncos do. Justin Sternatt, I'm talking to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why one team is going for the first ever three-peat in NFL history, and the other team hasn't made the playoffs in a decade. And you saw it come out today, Chad. And you're right. One team knows how to win those close games and do the fundamentals right and just find a way to win. The other team, like you said, snatches defeat from the jaws of victory. You hate to see it.
We got Ronnie Ray jumping in saying this hurts so bad. Tough loss. Rookies played pretty well. KC, hashtag luckiest team in the NFL. Well, you know, is it luck or do they make their own luck? You see what I'm saying? This is a team that knows how to – that fortune favors the bold, and they're bold enough to make sure that their little elves that manufacture their fortune are working overtime. They get it done no matter what. Hey, you might miss Christmas. You're working through. We're getting it done. We're passing the finish line. You know, we're breaking the plane. They figured out. TJ Hernandez, what's up, brother? Thank you for the super chat. Good to see you on this gut reaction. He says, we lost that game in the first half, playing way too safe. In Bo Nix, we believe. I do believe in Bo Nix, and I'll echo what you said earlier, Zach. Bo Nix is showing you he can get it done. Like, he's the guy. You know, this is one of those games, Zach, where you kind of realize, okay, you know, Broncos got ahead of schedule in the first half of the season. this really is developmental. Come together, figure out what you got in Bo Nix. This is they're trending in the right direction, as evidenced by this should have been a win.
Absolutely. I'm not worried about Bo Nix's development. I'm not worried about the offense as a whole. I would like some receiving help because, you know, Chad, you know, Cortland Sutton's the wide receiver one, and he's dropping passes. He's not proving he can be a wide receiver one. But with Bo Nix making the best of what he has, I think he's trending in the right direction. Robert Ruprecht, $5 super. Thank you, Robert, as always. If not already discussed, Estime RB1 was nice to see Denver trust him on that final drive after his week holding the ball around the complex. I do plus Vele. Yeah, I was puckering a little bit every time he got the rock on that last series that he wasn't going to cough it up a la Melvin Gordon. But this is why you saw the trust that Sean Payton and Joe Lombardi have in Estime, and you see why they're kind of scooting Javonte out of the way for Audric.
It's vision. Seriously. Yeah. Just seeing the backside is like what is separating him from Javonte Williams in one game where he got the majority bite at the apple. That's what clearly just separates him. Javonte, I don't know what it is, man. It's like once he gets the ball, he just doesn't see the backside. He doesn't see the little nooks and crannies in the folds. And you got to be able to. Like, that's one of the hallmarks of what makes a great NFL back is that vision. To illustrate, Zach, today it was a passing of the torch. Audric Estime carried the ball 14 times for 53 yards. And a lot of that, his numbers, like his average finish, Zach, at 3.8. But he took so many carries at the end for one, right, for two, all that it really drove down his average. But this was basically like a 5 yards per carry type of game for him. And it was interesting to see how the Broncos run game actually worked with a back that had a little power, similar to Javonte, but the big difference being, Zach, I can actually see where I need to go with the ball.
Exactly, and when you can hold Kansas City to under 20 points when you win the time of possession or at least help control the clock with your running game. So I want to see more Estime going forward. Brendacho, 1999 super. Thank you again, Brendacho. To those losing hope, we're still the seventh seed after today and can likely win five of our next seven. We're still in this just believe MHH for life. It would have been nice, though, if the Steelers lost. Russell Wilson threw a game-winning touchdown to, I think, Mike Williams to beat the Commanders today. But, yeah, a lot of season left to go. This is not over yet, but it's how the Broncos respond from this because we've been talking about it. You all feel it. The players certainly feel it. This was demoralizing. This was heartbreaking. It's hard to come back from such a brutal defeat, and we have to see what the Broncos are made of, Chad. They're metal going forward
with two T's, baby. Two T's, Naj, baby. Again, this S is over. He means, I think, the season. We have a young team. Peyton has to get them over. Wait, this is over. I think is what he's saying. Not the season. This is over. We have a young team. Peyton has to get them over this loss quick. We still hold the seventh seed and a lot of football left. Need to bring it home next week. Take care of the Falcons. Can't have an emotional hangover. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, already, time heals all wounds, right? We're now 27 minutes into this stream. In real time, we're about 40 minutes from the final gun, and I'm already starting to clear out. I'm starting to – that haze, that fog, that, like, shock thing is starting to dissipate. Might take a little bit longer to clear out for the Broncos, but they get to go home. Two tough road games. One, they get blown out against class of the conference. Second one, another class of the conference opponent. They should have won it. Like, you know, if you posture this right as the coach, you know, the message here, you got to walk that line of cracking the whip and really helping them understand that's how not to be a championship team. Who are we? What are we? How could we allow that to happen? And then also leading a little bit more, somehow asserting and pushing forward messaging wise more about, hey, we were there right with them. We got these guys, you know, we're there. We'll get them on the next one. Back to the drawing board. Let's go get the Falcons. We're in this. We're still the seventh seed. So you got to keep that more because humans, you know, hey, in the league, you got to be more driven by what you can achieve, not hanging on to negatives or fear, especially fear of additional losses. You got to go out there and put it on the table.
Yeah. Oi boy, $5 super. Thank you. Oi boy, as always, this is the kind of loss that makes you want to hit someone or crawl into the bottle. I'm so damn sick of the Chiefs to lose like this, FUKC. I mean, I echo that absolutely. And you know, to what you were saying, Chad, is interesting. As a coach, you walk the fine line. You don't want to parrot any moral victories like, oh, we hung with the Chiefs. We're right there. You still lost the game, and you lost it because you had a major fundamental breakdown in blocking. If you would have just done the fundamentals, the elementary stuff, you would have knocked off Kansas City in KC. So you kind of have to crack the whip, and you also kind of have to not demoralize them too much, to what you were saying.
What was that, though? Was it just a collapse, or did they not have the snap? Did he not know the snap count correct or something? I mean, it was so bad. Oy boy, love you, big dog. Keep your chin up. Don't crawl into the bottle. This too shall pass. Onto the Falcons. But, dude, if you look at the replay, again, I have a replay, and it's from the Chiefs, so it's like I don't get to see the second before the snap. The snap is actually already occurring. I have it at the lowest playback speed possible. And literally, he's just falling on his rear. That's what's happening in real time as Karlaftis just blows him over. But it's hard to tell if it was a snap count or if it was just a complete and utter collapse.
We might know, we might not know, but regardless, Chad, it was on Forsyth not doing his job, and it was just a catastrophic letdown.
We got D-Dub jumping in. Let's hope some wisdom. He always brings a great message and positivity, but it's hard to be positive in the wake of such a catastrophic disappointment. Dale, love you, bro. He says, unreal loss. They let Knicks down. Alex Forsyth play on that kick needs to be looked at. He literally did not give any resistance, just fell over. I don't like to say it, but looked mighty fishy. Still, Broncos for life. That's right. I know, that's why I joke, but as my dad says, this is one of my dad's one-liners, and it's a known maxim. It goes back many, many moons, but many a truths are said in jest. Why did he just fall down? You know, why did you just like fall on your butt? Like you thought you were sitting down on a chair or something. Like, oh, I mean, you just like laid down. Why? How come it was that easy? It is fishy. That's why, and I don't necessarily, like I was joking earlier, attribute it to Zach, huh, did he have some money on the game, huh? I'm not saying that, but it's so conspicuous that there must be more to the story. I mean, this dude just, we just saw him play Zach quite well as the Broncos starting center for however long Wattenberg was out. I think 4 games, right? 4 weeks. To just fall down like that, that's not indicative of what we know about Alex Forsyth up to this point. So something there. And Monica, thank you. Believe indeed. Much love and respect. Really, really appreciate you.
Is it that crazy, though, considering the Broncos have a Wuzurike on their team who was banned for gambling on playing? Definitely didn't have money on it or anything like that. It was just he got beat really bad at the worst possible time. I saw some people saying that maybe the defender was lined up illegally over the center or used leverage or whatever or something. They got a quick start. Regardless, though, it's not just Forsyth. It was the whole line just failing.
I'm trying to find a clip of that on Twitter as we're streaming that actually shows the beat before the snap, and so far I have not been successful. I'll keep looking. But Hector, good to see you. Welcome. Thank you, my friend. Says that's a newer name that I can recognize anyway on Super Chat, so appreciate you, big dog. That Sutton offsides before the half cannot happen. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, Sutton giveth and he taketh away. You can't taketh away if you're going to be a bona fide stud. If you're a true leader, how can you look your unit in the eye that's made up of either rookies and young guys or complete journeyman jags when you're jumping offside or you're caught offsides and then you're dropping passes in the clutch? Hey, solid day. I mean, after 2 straight 100-yard games, Sutton finishes the day as the leading receiver, 6 receptions on 9 targets, big drop, 70 yards and a touchdown, but still too many lapses. Again, put the shoe on the other foot. Do you see that from the Chiefs ever? No, especially not from their clutch key dudes. So, you know, there used to be a theme. Jonathan, I'm going to grab you next, dog. There used to be a theme, Zach, that the Broncos had some studs. Granted, your Justin Simmonses, your Bowleses, your Suttons, guys who were really good at what they did but had been a part of losing culture for so long, you just got to blow them out. You got to just get them out, move on, and find the next guy. And he didn't do much today to dispel that particular notion. Zach, if you want to grab Jonathan.
Yeah, I want to just add that, you know, everyone's going to talk about the field goal block, but there were so many other miscues that the Broncos committed. The Cortland Sutton drops, the misconnections, the penalties here and there. That is not how you beat Kansas City. You have to be on your A game at all times. Hopefully the Broncos can do it in the second meeting. Jonathan Figueroa, $4.99 super. Thank you so much, Jonathan, as always. An older name still sticking in with us. We lost this game due to play calling. Conservative after the half, five behind line of scrimmage plays to Mims. Yeah, that's what I was saying. He got conservative when he realized he was up on Kansas City, mighty KC, in KC. He went into a shell. You play not to lose. And I know it's cliche, but when you play not to lose, you end up losing. So you got to be more aggressive. You have to have more faith in your offense and Bo to really open up the game, because that's the only way you're going to beat Mahomes, Chad, is make it too big to rig.
Exactly. And you know what, dude? Well played there. You know what, though? Here's the thing. The other guys get paid, too. And the Chiefs came out in the second half and said, oh, you thought you'd seen the best from us. Ha! Psych! And they've just leveled that intensity up a couple notches. And the Broncos weren't ready for it. Why were you not ready for that? It's the Chiefs. You should be ready to come out and go, okay, that just shows you the Broncos still are a little bit of a step behind the Chiefs, but they're close enough, Zach, where they can win these games. They should have won this game. Yeah. Refs helped out a lot in the first half in particular with some just ridiculous, stupid calls, bailing Patrick Mahomes out. I mean, the Broncos beat the living snot out of Mahomes today. I mean, for what it's worth, Robert, I'm going to grab you next here. But for what it's worth, because you're on the theme that we're talking about here, one, two, three, four sacks, and just a lot of one, two, three, four sacks. So Cooper, Zach Allen, Nick Benito, and JFM all got a sack, and they just hit him relentlessly. But the refs kept just little key situations, not every time, but it'd be like the difference between the possession ending or the chains moving. Just drives me nuts. Like that penalty, for example, on Brandon Jones. I was livid.
Yes.
They didn't even show us a replay where it may have happened. And the guys were going, well, if that happened, it sure as heck happened early. Because for that to be illegal contact, it has to happen before the quarterback is contacted by the defense. And he's like, well, that had to, because he got contacted immediately. There was no touch on Nick Benito. Must have happened pretty early in the down for there to be illegal contact. Robert, 3rd and 9, ref ball, exactly. Brandon Jones that killed Benito's sack, gave Kelsey the touchdown to keep them in the game. Sutton, Vele, Reynolds are solid. It says KC 15 asked the ref to signal his receiver on the line. Really? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, dude, is it's just like, you know, Brady and even Peyton. Look, Broncos got a lot of benefits of the doubt when it was Peyton. Colts used to get a lot of benefits of the doubt from these refs, the sympathies. It's a subconscious phenomenon. I mean, think back to even, it's not the same sport, but Michael Jordan and the Bulls in the 90s, you know, the level of dominance. They get these sympathy calls, and you're going, what the Sam Hill? Because they're the class of the league, and it's just the way it shakes out. So you almost have to, like, be twice as good on a given day to come out on top against an opponent like this.
This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. We went over this in the head-to-head on Thursday, like the discrepancy in the flags that the Chiefs get and the Broncos get. And it seems like every week the refs want to just throw a flag, throw a flag, throw a flag. Robert Ruprecht again, $2 super. Have to rewatch on NFL Plus, Atlanta-based, excited, Denver 9-8. Thank you, Robert. And Chad, I want to tack on something to what you said a couple minutes ago before we get James, that the Broncos really aren't that far away. And I was pulling up their schedule and I realized that every loss they've had this season – has been by one possession. 6 in week 1, 7 in week 2.
Separated.
You lost the Chargers by 7. It's all within one possession. You lost by one possession today. So they're except for Baltimore. That's the lone exception there. But you're hanging with every team. You're not the worst team in the NFL, and you're slowly progressing, and you can see it.
You can see it. And it's just, you know, Rome's not built in a day, and we're tired of being told that. We want to see it. You know, we're seeing the progression, but the results are still hit and miss, I guess is what I'm getting at, which is the hallmark of a young team relearning how to win. We all know that as much as we don't want to hear it. James, I'm over the game at this point. Win your next 4. To wit, Falcons, Colts, Raiders, Browns. You win those 4, Zach, you get to 9-5, and we go from there. I like it. And even if you win 3 of those 4, let's say you for the sake of just playing it conservative, Zach, you lose to the Falcons, who are no joke. They had their own heartbreaker. But Falcons, you beat them or you lose to the Falcons. Sorry, you beat the Colts, you beat the Raiders, you beat the Browns. Raiders aren't going to lay down. None of those teams are going to lay down for you, but the Broncos are. They showed me a lot today that gave me some confidence in them. It's just, man, why did you have to lapse at the penultimate worst possible moment? But yeah, I'm glad to hear it, James. You're over the game. I'm over it now too, dog. I'm over it too. YouTube user, what's up, bro? Good to see you. Welcome. Thank you. Much respect, MHH. I hate the Chiefs. Our game to lose. BS. Did we really get a 35-yard field goal blocked? Yeah, dog. Yeah, because I wish I could show you the replay and break it down with you, but just go, you know, you can't find it on Broncos, their Twitter account, but if you go to the Chiefs, it's one of the last two or three things they tweeted, you'll see it. He just falls on his butt. It'd be like, hut. And if someone just like at the snap falls down and you're rushing, boom, the ball's right there. It's mine. I got it. That's what happened, YouTube user, in case you missed it, my dog.
Yeah, we all hate the Chiefs, and it was our game to lose, and it was BS, so I have to echo everything you said there. Thank you for your support. Thank you as well, Stu.
Let's see what the wisdom of Zeus from on high, he shall descend down to give us his insight. We love you, Stu. So good to see you. One of the first, in fact, the first face etched on the MHH Super Chat Superstar Mount Rushmore right here, this cat right here. Big blow, no doubt. But considering where the Broncos were a year ago, we're on our way up. Hang in there. Better days ahead. I agree. And that was a brutal two-game stretch. You weathered some difficult situations early in the season, Zach, by winning twice on the East Coast. You got ahead of schedule, which gives you a little bit – I don't want to call it breathing room, but it should give you – it's a nice little foundation. They can build from here. You saw the next four opponents. The only one that really instills any kind of modicum of fear are the Falcons. They are a winning opponent. That's the one thing I'll say too, Zach, that you know you want to chip away at what the Broncos have achieved. Even last year with the miracle working that the Broncos did, Russell Wilson not doing anything till the fourth quarter, defense getting all those takeaways, the five-game winning streak, that whole thing. You know, that was a team that managed to beat quite a few playoff caliber opponents. Broncos haven't really been able to do that this year up to this point, but they have won the games for the most part they're supposed to win. So that's a step forward.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It seemed like last season's run was very manufactured looking back on it, Stu. They needed some miracle finishes and upsets. They didn't really win any game organically, it seemed like. Well, this season, they blew out the Saints. They blew out the Panthers. They blew out the Raiders. They're winning the games they're supposed to win, and that's how I feel about the next four. There's no reason why they can't go 9-5 if they take care of business, but as always, Chad, it comes down to which Broncos team, the Jekyll or the Hyde, are we going to get on Sunday?
We've got George Fox jumping in on Facebook. Great to see you, brother, saying can't find a hole deep enough. Can't believe that just happened. Broncos for life, MHH for life. Hit the thumbs up, guys. I know, still it's shocking, but again, it's starting to work out of my system. I'm not quite so in such a stunned state. Patriot Tex, my brother, good to see you. He says, I'm just sick from this loss. Everything was there for the taking. Special teams cost us. Missed field goal at the end of the first half. Field goal blocked to end the game. This loss sucks. Screw the refs. Screw the Chiefs. Amen and amen and amen. In fact, Patriot Tex. Yeah, we haven't talked about that. You know, Thursday night, Zach, we're doing the head-to-head, and we're talking about, yeah, Lutz has only missed once.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, they put him in a tough sitch in the end-of-half sequence, granted, but he was accurate in terms of his targeting, just not enough leg on it, and they even got a little return on it, did the Chiefs. So that was a narrowly averted disaster. Thank you, Cody Barton, for bringing him down finally. But yeah, screw the Chiefs, screw the refs.
That's why I said it was so ironic, because we've lauded the special teams for 2 years now under Sean Payton, and this was the reason they lost with special teams. Man, 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 man.
Collins jumps in to say, and thank you, Colin. Good to see you, man. Welcome. Forsyth is absolute booty. Yeah, this guy, go ahead and deactivate all your social media accounts if you have them, Alex. You're not going to want to pop your head above water this, at least for the next like 5 days. You know, that was absolutely and utterly embarrassing, dude. Go watch the clip, guys, on Chiefs Twitter. I mean, you watched the game, but if you watch the replay, golly, baby, that thing was just as shameful and humiliating if you're Alex Forsythe. And not only that, Zach, but what it cost your team.
Right.
Bro, I feel bad for him, but I don't. You get paid, dog. You're getting paid serious coin to go out there and not just lay down for George Karloftis. Like, what the Sam Hill?
I think this is an insult to Booty, because at least Booty makes me happy. There's nothing that made me happy about today's game, Alex Forsythe included.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Colin. Colin.
We call this gallows humor, even when it's apt and on the nose. Well said. Okay, so we're up to speed here. Guys, we're at 44 minutes on the stream, so this is your two-minute warning-ish for any burning topics, questions, supers, to get them in the chat. Zach, I just want to go over a few observations from the box score.
Yeah.
Bo Nix officially passed Jay Cutler today for the most passing touchdowns in for a rookie in Broncos history. He now has 10 on the season. Did not throw a pick. He finished with a QB rating significantly better than Pat Mahomes, 115.3 to Mahomes' 92. He went 22 of 30 for 215 yards, Zach, and two touchdowns. Give me your synthesis on what we saw from Bo Nix today.
I think Bo Nix is it. I think Bo Nix outplayed Patrick Mahomes today, and the only difference is Patrick Mahomes' special teams unit was better than the Broncos. Of all my concerns with Denver, Chad, Bo Nix is the least of them, and I mean that.
And that's not something we've been able to say in this town for a long time. Our quarterback is the least of our concerns. What? Seriously, you haven't been able to say that since when? Peyton Manning. Yeah. Peyton frickin' Manning. Okay, a few other observations from Owen Fox Family Breaks. He had foresight of what was going to happen, but in all seriousness, and we need to be more aggressive. Well played there, my friend. Fox Family Breaks checking in to give us a little levity. Alex Forsythe, prescient in his foresight of what was going to happen. I love it, dude. Thank you. Zach, a few other observations. I mentioned Estime, 53 yards rushing on 14 carries. By the way, Javonte Williams, wild guess. You don't have the box score in front of you. How many carries did Javonte have today?
Seven.
One.
Oh, wow.
One.
I thought I saw him on the field more. Wow.
Isn't that wild? He was on the field more, but they miscalled a couple of Estime runs as Williams runs. Oh, never mind. That was Estime. But he did have two receptions on two targets for 6 yards as well. So an interesting thing there, because that run game was working today. A couple situations where it was imperfect, but even Jaleel McLaughlin to open the game with a nice 5-yard rush, and then his only other carry of the day picked up seven, so he got two carries for 12 yards. The Broncos' run game took a step forward, but what you were missing today were those dynamic Bo Nix plays with his legs. That's the one thing I'll say. And, you know, that speed and the twitch that has surprised Sean Payton and all of us in Bo Nix. Chiefs were faster than him today, man. Like anytime he tried to wiggle out, squirt around, this and that. I mean, his two sacks, the first one, Zach, minus 17. His second one, minus 16. And then we'll grab Robert.
Yeah, he was just, like you said, trying to make those plays, but the Chiefs' defense were just faster than him. And I give a lot of credit to Nick Bolton and all the Karloftis and the players they have over there, Chad. That's a really solid unit, and Bo Nix has nothing to feel ashamed about. Robert Ruprecht, $5 super again. Thank you so much, Robert, for your support today. We beat Atlanta, Indy, Cleveland, Las Vegas, and maybe the Chargers, and a second-string KC in Week 18 equals 11-6. Maybe not Chargers, but who do we want for a wild card race? I want number 2 Pittsburgh rematch. I don't know. I mean, we all want to see Russ versus Bo and the grudge match actually take hold, but that defense is pretty strong. I don't know that I would want to play them right out of the gate in the playoffs. Give me, I don't know, man. Give me a lesser opponent than Pittsburgh in round one.
Yeah, that's the thing here. As I'll echo Rodney on YouTube, Rodney Garcia, the Chargers are a threat. You know, this Chargers team, you lose to them at home, it's going to be even more difficult to beat them at their house. That's going to be tough. I don't think you're going to beat them, just to be frank. Like, they're damn good. They're scary good. The Chargers, Jim Harbaugh is bringing a stability there and a competency that they haven't had on a coaching level for many years. they're going to be tough with a quarterback like that and as fundamentally sound, disciplined across the board. That's going to be tough. But even if you lose to the Chargers, Zach, the rest of your schedule actually lines up pretty nice for a team sitting at 5-5 for what we'll call the stretch run.
Yeah, I mean, there's no team of these four, and including the Chargers and KC, a second-string KC, that you're terrified of. Even a first-string KC, you went toe-to-toe with them today, and you should have won that game. You lost to the Chargers by one possession. That game, the Broncos could have played a lot better. You get by Atlanta, which you can easily. They don't scare me that much, and you can definitely make a playoff push.
I feel you, Jeremy. Screw that. Give me Pittsburgh. I feel you. But honestly, for me, just making the playoffs, I don't want to sound defeatist, but like if the Broncos manage to just snap that juju, then it, once again, honestly, it'll feel like all things become possible. I think back to 2011 when the Broncos made the playoffs with Tim Tebow. That was coming off what felt like at the time the longest playoff drought in my memory as a fan that started his fanhood in the 80s, where 05 was the last playoff berth, 05, and then 06, no playoffs, 07, no playoffs, Cutler, 08, last of the Shanahan, no playoffs, 09, McDaniels, no playoffs, 10. So you were coming off five straight playoffless seasons, and the Broncos won the division in 2011, backing into the playoffs, finishing 8-8. They lose their last three games, including to the Chiefs, 7-3. It was brutal. But the division was so bad back then that even finishing 8-8 and losing your final three games, but just making the playoffs was just took a lift off the franchise's shoulders. They made the playoffs. Yeah, they won the division. They made the playoffs. By the time you got to Pittsburgh, playing Pittsburgh, I should say, at home in the wild card round, that iconic game, you just felt like you were playing with house money anyway. That's, I think, I hope that's what happens this year. Let me just put it that way. Donovan, what a day for Benito. Solid performance. Yeah, dude. That left tackle for the Chiefs had no answer for his speed off the edge, Zach. It was beautiful to see. Benito finishes, of course, with a sack, multiple QB hits, three tackles. Good day for Nick Benito.
This is why you felt comfortable trading away Baron Browning for peanuts to Arizona, because you have your edge rushers of the future. You throw in Jonah Ellis. Dondre Tillman saw the field today, Chad. He was pretty impressive as well. So you have your core there, and I'm excited to see Nick Benito keep growing into maybe a 10-sack Pro Bowl type guy.
And even Jonah Ellis made himself a play today with that tip pass on third down. Yep. Guys, a few messages for you, then we're going to dip out.
Tremendous episode, as always. Can't believe it's been 51 minutes of the gut reaction of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle. Chad at Chad and Jensen. Myself at Kelberman NFL. And Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, 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 subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
Hey, guys, keep your chin up. Robert saying Cincinnati versus Denver week 17, flex to primetime for sure. That's one of the – that one in Atlanta are the end of the – from here. In fact, real quick, let me just double-check this so I don't sound ridiculous. But coming out of week 10, you got the Falcons at home. Then a road trip to the Raiders, which it's the Raiders, but you've yet to win in that new stadium in Vegas. Then it's back home for the Browns. Then it's your bye. It's a very fortunate bye week for the Broncos who, you know, if you're a team that's in it, having your bye in 14 is pretty nice. Then it's home against the Colts in week 15, on the road at the Chargers week 16, Bengals on the road week 17, then home for the Chiefs who probably will be resting their starters. So, yeah, and Nate Dizzle, sounds crazy, but I don't feel that bad about this. Nah, it doesn't sound crazy. Doesn't sound crazy. But, hey, a Mile High salute and a special shout-out to all of our great Super Chat superstars and supporters throwing down tonight in the face of a really gut-wrenching loss. This is the gut punch reaction today. Brendacho, Brian Woodward, or pardon me, Woodard, Chris Chances, Chris Hernandez, Cullen Dunham, Donovan Rios, D-Dub, Fox Family Breaks, George Fox, Hector Balderas, Jack Bo, Zebo, James Todd, Jonathan Figueroa, Jonathan Ward, Monica Raposo, Naj, Oi Boy, Patriot Tex, Raj, Ralph, Riptide, Robert Ruprecht, Ronnie Ray, Steve Lazuski, Zeus McPeak, Taylor Christensen, TJ Hernandez, William Shaw, Yeti in the Mist, YouTube user, and last but not least, Madison Ossendorf and Nate Dizzle. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Keep your chin up. We're in this still. Broncos retain the seventh seed in the AFC. Let not your heart be troubled. Work out the hormones. Tomorrow's another day. We'll be back tomorrow. And we're going to also raffle off a jersey tomorrow night. So be ready for that.
Have a great rest of your Sunday. We will see you tomorrow for all the aftermath of today's game. Have a great weekend. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.